Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
I worked as a babysitter during my college years just to make some extra money without having to have a set work schedule. For the most part, I took care of this one family's 4-year-old boy a couple times a week, as the parents would often have dinner events for work. The boy was quiet, but I appreciated that because he was easy to watch over. He didn't do much besides watch TV and play with toys, and he seemed to like me. This was my 6th time watching after him. I had got to the house just before his parents left, and they explained that they would be back home around 11 tonight, and I needed to make sure that he was in bed by 9. The first few hours went as usual. I watched TV with him and made him a small frozen pizza. After finishing his food, he told me he had to use the bathroom and left for a few minutes. When he returned, he asked me about the shuffling noises coming from the basement. I was confused and immediately turned off the TV. Sure enough, as soon as the TV was quiet, I could clearly hear something moving around down there. It was very faint though, and I couldn't tell what it was. Seeing the boy was clearly scared, I assured him it would be okay and was probably just a small animal that had gotten in. I told him to wait up here while I go down to see what it was. By this point, the shoveling had already stopped. I'd never been in the basement of this house before, as it was unfinished and there was never any reason to go down there, so I was definitely being cautious. I opened the door and turned on the light by the stairs. Then I walked down quietly and turned the light on at the bottom of the stairs too, which lit up the whole room. It was a pretty big space, mostly filled with storage boxes. I walked around, checking behind a few boxes, but after not seeing or hearing anything else, I went back upstairs. The boy was waiting for me on the couch and shot up when he saw me. I told him everything was fine and nothing was down there, and gave him a big hug just to make him feel better. After a few minutes, we had already forgotten about the whole thing. And a couple hours later, it was getting close to 9 o'clock and I started to get him ready for bed. We went upstairs to his room and I made sure he was ready, then said goodnight and went back downstairs. I sat on the couch for probably 30 to 40 minutes just scrolling through my phone, before hearing shuffling from the basement again, but this time it was a lot louder. My heart stopped for a second as I listened. Then I heard the bedroom door open upstairs and the boy call out my name. I told him to stay where he was and not to come down. I got up and made my way to the basement door. At this point, I was pretty terrified. I pulled out my phone and had it ready to call 911 as I opened the door as quietly as possible. The shuffling sounded like it was close to the bottom of the stairs now. I reached over and flicked on the lights. Immediately, I slammed the door shut and ran upstairs to get the boy, then went straight out the front door and called 911. I stood across the street from the house, looking at the windows as I waited for the cops to come. I also called the parents to let them know what had happened and to come home as soon as they could. When the police finally arrived, I told them what happened. As I turned on the lights by the stairs, I saw a half-naked man crouching down by the bottom while searching through a storage box. They carefully searched the home and found clear evidence of someone having lived in the basement recently, with piles of trash shoved in boxes, but they didn't find anyone. When the parents arrived, they thanked me for calling them and talked to the police about the situation. About an hour later, I was able to go home as they secured the house and filed the reports. I spent the next few days really shaken up and being pretty paranoid. For a couple of weeks, I kept in touch with the parents to see if there were any updates on the man, but nothing ever came up. Eventually, we lost touch as I no longer wanted to babysit anymore. I think the most terrifying thing about it was that he never got caught, and he could be living in someone else's basement right now without them even knowing. When I was 13, I had a babysitter that would come once a week, as my mom would work late every Saturday night. I always thought I was too old to have a babysitter still, and hated having to have someone watch over me all the time. The main person my mom would have over was a 20-year-old guy, Thomas, that was the son of one of my mom's work friends. This guy was really weird, and I didn't like him at all. He didn't talk much and just acted really awkward and strange, but whenever he interacted with my mom, he would act extra nice and talkative. I would bring it up with her, but she'd always say I was just trying to get rid of him so I could be alone. Anyways, it was a normal Saturday night, and Thomas had just arrived, a little late as usual. My mom talked with him for a little bit, and then headed to work. I walked over to the couch and turned on my Xbox to play some video games just to pass the time. I'd usually go to bed at 10, so I'd have to spend 4 or 5 hours with Thomas. Most of the time, I'd find something to do alone, because he'd never really talk to me and would just hang out in the kitchen or in our loft area. And today was no different. He stayed in the kitchen for a little bit, and after a few minutes, I heard him talking to someone. I tried to listen as best I could, but I couldn't make out what he was saying. The kitchen was right behind the living room that I was in, but he was talking really quietly. He went on for a few minutes, and then the talking stopped, followed by him coming into the living room and standing next to the couch. I looked up at him and saw he was holding his phone. Thomas said someone was gonna come over, just for a second, and not to worry. I didn't really know how to respond other than to just say, okay. It was pretty weird though, and I knew it was definitely not something any babysitter should do, but I also knew that there was nothing I could really do about it. The next 20 minutes were really awkward, as he didn't take out his phone or anything. He just sat there on the couch with me, looking around and not saying anything. He would rarely ever be in the same room as me, so this was pretty out of the ordinary. Our living room was right by the front door though, so I guess he was just waiting for the person to get here. Eventually, a car pulled into the driveway and a man came knocking at the door. Thomas shot up and went over to the door, then stood right in front of it for a moment before turning to me and telling me that he'd be back in just a minute. Then he opened the door and walked outside and shut the door behind him. This whole situation had me curious as to what was going on with him. The blinds on the windows were cracked open just enough for me to see the two of their shadows as they moved around in the driveway. I could tell that the man handed Thomas a large bag and then got in his car and drove away. A few seconds later, I heard the lid of the garbage can outside slam shut, followed by Thomas coming back inside through the front door. The whole interaction seemed odd, and I couldn't help myself from asking him what it was all about. Thomas replied, telling me that it was just his friend, and that he left his wallet at his friend's house last night, so he was just dropping it off. I could tell there was something wrong with the way he answered, and it didn't explain the large bag I saw him holding, but I didn't want to question him any further, so I just said okay and went back to playing my game. But things got a lot more strange as the night progressed. During the next hour, I could hear Thomas having multiple phone calls with someone in the kitchen, and at one point, he went into the far loft area where I could hear him raising his voice. Still though, I couldn't make any sense of what he was saying. After maybe the 5th or 6th call, the same car from earlier pulled into the driveway again, and Thomas immediately ran outside without saying anything. I could tell from their body language and the way that they were moving around that they were clearly arguing about something. Then Thomas left for 30 seconds, and then came back with the bag from earlier. The man took it and put it in his back seat, then drove off in a hurry. Thomas came back inside, and I could see the frustration on his face. he went over to the kitchen and didn't come back until 10 when he told me I had to go to bed. I got ready and laid in bed while Thomas stayed downstairs. He would usually stay until my mom got home at 12, but just a few minutes later I heard the front door open and close. I waited for 10 minutes, then got up and went downstairs to see if he was still there, but sure enough, he had left. I looked out the window and his car was gone too. I stayed up in bed for a few hours to wait for my mom to get home, and then told her everything that had happened. She seemed to believe me this time, as she also thought it was strange and really unprofessional to leave the house before she came home. The next day, she tried calling him, but he didn't answer. Eventually, though, she got a hold of her friend, who was Thomas's mom, and asked what happened, and she said that Thomas came home feeling sick. We both knew that was a lie and didn't make much sense, as he could have just called her and told her he wasn't feeling well. Anyways, it's been almost 10 years since all that happened, and I still find myself thinking about how weird that night was. I always wonder what the two were arguing about, why he left, and what was in the bag. My best friend had a daughter, Sarah, that had just turned 7, and I would occasionally watch her whenever they needed. They lived in a really nice home in Washington, surrounded by trees and mountains. The nearest neighbors were a couple miles away, so I always enjoyed the peace and quiet while staying there. Anyways, my friend had asked me if I could watch Sarah for 2 days while she was going on a business trip. I agreed, and a few weeks later arrived at her house. We talked for a little bit and ate lunch together, then she finished packing and headed out to catch her flight. I hung out with Sarah for a few hours, listening to her talk about school and her friends. Then I took her out to pick up some dinner and dessert. We got back to the house around 8 and agreed to watch a movie just before bed. I sat on the couch and began scrolling through a list of movies to find one, when I hear Sarah ask me, "Who's that?" I look where she's pointing, at the front door, and then hear someone knocking. With the house being so isolated, I never thought anyone would come up to the door. Nervously, I walked over and cracked the door open. There was a tall man standing on the porch. He looked a little surprised when I opened the door. "Can I help you?" I asked. He leaned to the left, looking through the crack in the door, then replied, "Sorry, just making sure someone was home." Then he turned away and started walking. Obviously, I found this very strange and a little bit creepy. I closed the door and locked it, then went to the back door and locked it as well. Sarah asked me who it was, and I told her it was just a neighbor, then went back to the couch and started a movie. We both enjoyed the movie, though it was a little bit longer than I had thought. I told Sarah it was time for bed and then followed her upstairs as she got ready. Once she was in bed, I came back down and sat on the couch. It was a little bit after 10 and I wasn't too tired yet, so I figured I'd turn something on the TV and just wind down for a bit before going to bed. As the TV played, I started to hear a crunching sound coming from somewhere. I muted the show and listened more carefully. It was coming from the back of the house. I went over to the back door and turned on the back porch light. Looking around, I couldn't see anything other than an empty porch with trees in the background. I stayed there, listening for a few more minutes before eventually heading back to the couch. I wondered if my mind was just messing with me, as I was a little creeped out by being in a house surrounded by a forest in the dark. I always felt safe during the day and actually really enjoyed it, but as soon as the sun goes down, I'd get a little uneasy. Anyways, I turned up the volume again and decided to lay down as to get myself more sleepy. Apparently it worked too well, and I fell asleep on the couch shortly after. A couple hours later, I woke up, noticing the TV was still on. I turned it off and sat up, rubbing my eyes tiredly. But then I started to get an uneasy feeling again, as I noticed how silent it was in the house. There wasn't any sound at all. Then I began to hear that same crunching sound, but this time clearly sounding like footsteps. It was coming from the right side of the house, which was right by the room that I was in. A few seconds later, they stopped, seemingly right outside one of the windows that had the curtains down. Truly frightened, I walked over to the window slowly and quietly, and pulled back the curtain. Nothing was there. I looked around and didn't see anything. I figured I had been imagining it, and was just really tired, so I got a glass of water and headed upstairs to get to bed. The next morning, I made us some breakfast and we sat down together to talk about what we wanted to do today. But as we were discussing plans, Sarah asks me why I was walking around outside last night. I froze for a moment, then asked her what she saw. She said she had heard someone walking around the house for almost an hour just after she had gone to bed. Chills ran down my body, and I told her to stay inside while I went to look around outside. I grabbed a small knife just in case and went out the front door. Walking around the house, it was hard to tell if anything was from last night or had already been there. But I did notice some scratches on the walls near some of the windows and doors, but other than that, everything seemed normal. I couldn't tell if there were any footprints, as the yard was mostly thick grass. As I made my way back to the front door, I saw that same man from yesterday walking down the street in front of the house. He was just walking past, but again, this house was pretty far from anything else, so he had to have walked a couple miles at least just to get there. I went back inside and told Sarah that we were going to go to the mall today and walk around. I really didn't want to be in the house anymore, so I wanted to spend as much time away as possible. We stayed out for a while and didn't get back to the house until 6. My friend called me soon after just to check up on us. I mentioned the strange man that I had seen and described his features to her, and she actually said that she recognized the man from a few weeks ago. Apparently he had come up to her house and asked if he could stay the night, to which she obviously declined. We agreed that if anything else happened, I wouldn't take any chances and would call the police. As the sun started to go down, I made sure to check all the doors one last time to make sure that they were locked. It was around 9 p.m., and Sarah and I were playing a quick board game before bed when we both started to hear a soft tapping noise coming from outside one of the windows. I stood up slowly and told Sarah to stay calm. But then a loud scratching came from outside the walls of the house, right by the window in the room we were in. I grabbed Sarah and ran into the garage. We got in the car and I backed out of the driveway as quick as I could, making sure the garage fully shut before driving off. I couldn't see much in the darkness as we were leaving, but Sarah said that she saw someone running into the trees behind the house. I pulled into a hotel parking lot and called the police to report the incident, then called my friend to let them know what had happened. We were met 10 minutes later by 2 officers at the hotel, and they informed us that 2 more were at the house looking around. I told them everything and gave them a description of the man, and eventually they left. We ended up staying in a room at the hotel for the night. The next morning, my friend called and said her flight was just landing and she would be back in an hour, so we headed over to the house. We waited in the driveway for her to arrive, then we all went in together to make sure it was safe. I stayed for a few hours just to talk about everything, and then I said goodbye and went home. It was definitely one of the scariest things to ever happen to me. But fortunately, the man was caught a month later after having been reported by multiple people for trying to break into their homes. What scares me the most about the guy was that he never said what his reasoning was for his actions. He had apparently broken into one of the homes, but he didn't steal anything at all. He just looked around for a little bit and then left empty-handed. It always makes me wonder what he was actually trying to do on the night he tried to break in.
Turn your tax refund into a new landscape with Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Create stunning patios and build strong retaining walls with our huge in-stock selection of beautiful concrete blocks ready to take home today. Plus, easily build and design your own raised garden beds with our garden block. On sale now. Check out our weekly flyer and start saving on landscape blocks now at Menards.
Save